Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan right now. There's been questions asked to Steven, to Jerry, by us. Would you use that extra draft capital? Maybe get the Cowboys something else and like help this team out. But let's go entirely the other way. Forget using the extra draft capital. Who could the Cowboys realistically trade away for more draft capital? That's what we're going to do today. And Alec, I'm going to go back to you with a question that I asked you yesterday, and I gave you plenty of time to think it over. Would you trade Brandon Aubrey for a second round pick?
I almost cussed just now.
So did I, but my mic was off, so I was safe. I think I was at a place yesterday, like in the late afternoon hours, where I was okay with it. But I think I talked myself back out of it today.
Oh.
And I'm going to say no. I need a one.
Wow. Oh.
That's how good he is.
All right.
I need a one.
Okay. Corey.
Kevin.
The only offer available is a two for now. Would you accept a second round pick?
Yeah. How often are you going to get a two out of a kicker?
Probably never.
Never? Like, obviously, I want...
Oh, Jankowski. Did Jankowski get a one?
Okay. Obviously, I never want to trade Aubrey. And for if sure. it'd have to be a one.
For sure. Okay.
But the value versus what I have, I absolutely would do that because I can go out and find another kicker, and maybe I'm not getting the same results, but I'm going to be able to have a pretty good kicker out there. But a second round pick is huge.
Right.
Now, a lot of people, that's their favorite player right now.
I get it.
He represents them. You know, and hey, he's the only good one is what a lot of people are saying.
Right.
And he's the best in the league at what he does. How much separation is there between him and everybody else?
See, I think there's a lot because not only the accuracy in terms of regular field goal kicking, but it's the distance. The distance is just madness.
Okay, but the percentages are still kind of close except for the distance, like as far as...
Yeah, just because, like, and I think one of the issues there is because was last year he had like three block kicks and it's like, well, I probably would have made it. Yeah, that's the way I think about it. Yeah. I don't know if that's exactly fair, but that's what I think about
it. And like, if there's a kicker that for 6 years he was hitting 100%, you'd be like, oh my gosh.
Sure.
Like, this is the best ever. He's just separate from everybody else. There's a 94%, 93%, 92% for three different kickers. I'm like, okay, so it's not that different, but I agree with you. Patrick Mahomes could throw a way that nobody else could for a while, where you were just like, nobody can out, he can't outthrow Tyreek Hill.
Right.
And so this is a combination you do not want to let go. Guess what they did? They let go.
Yeah.
So I think for a number two, because I don't think you're going to get that value anywhere else, I would, but I don't want to.
And this is where I think we have the conversation. Because somebody said, trade everybody except the kicker. And I think that's what makes this conversation interesting is that, well, you got to figure out players that you're going to be able to get value for that you would be willing to let go. So if that's how you feel, fair enough. But then somebody texted in, you got to trade Diggs. And I hear you on that. I just don't know what kind of value that you would get. Like Sean asked this morning when we teased this segment, Bobby said, best case scenario, I think a fifth. and I said a conditional sixth. And if you're okay with that, then you can do it. You're not actually going to have to eat as much money as I would have thought, but you're going to have to eat some money on that. Is it worth it just to not have Trayvon Diggs out there and you'll take a conditional sixth or maybe a fifth?
I don't think it's worth it.
Okay.
For me, I'm trying to figure out how to get his value back up. And I think it's possible. His defense is bad across the board. And I don't know if it's individual player or if it's just the defense itself isn't totally working. Communication's poor. That means a guy's getting beat whenever he shouldn't be, you know, those kinds of things. As you were saying, Donovan Wilson, there was a point where he had to choose a player.
Yeah.
And if they had had the right communication before the snap, maybe he didn't have to choose the wrong one.
Yeah.
So that's the case. Maybe the player still has something there. Maybe he's still recovering from this injury. But a conditional sixth right now is not enough for me.
Okay. What about for you, Alec? Realistically, that's probably the best I'm going to tell you that I can do is a conditional sixth for Trayvon Diggs. Is that acceptable to you?
It's all got to be in context for me. If you're punting on the season, I'm taking anything I can get.
I'm glad he said this.
Okay.
Because my perspective here, and Kevin, now this is where I'm sending you out to go make these deals.
Okay.
I want you to find me, if I'm getting things in return, if I'm trading picks for players, I want players that I have control of for a couple years. Very similar to what they did with Mingo. They were like, look, we liked him in the second round.
Right.
We can get him for a fourth, and we have a couple of years to see if he's the right guy or not. That's what I want you to do with the picks that I'll give you to trade. But for the players that you're sending out,
yeah.
If I'm doing that, I'm looking at rebuilding right now and making a big move, big bold move to rebuild this thing entirely.
Okay. I'll just go ahead and tip my hand all the way then. I feel like if you've been listening to the show, you already know how I feel about this. Personally, I would stockpile assets the rest of this season and next season until you can figure out a way to wiggle out of Dak's contract. And even then, you might have to wait one more year. That's just me. I know that is soul-crushingly boring for the fan base to have to be like, hey, we get to watch not so good football and everything like that. And I know Jerry said numerous times, I don't have time for a bad time. So I'm not insinuating that they would do that whatsoever, but that would be my strategy. I know what you're doing now does not lead to a Super Bowl. I think if you just rebooted the thing, which you kind of already started to do with the Micah trade, that I think that's what you should do. So I'll just, from my perspective, if you hate that standpoint, I understand. That is what I would do because I think that's the route to a Super Bowl.
You can hate the standpoint, but not the man.
I hope not. Mm. Even earlier today, somebody said they hated my voice and inflection, but they liked my information. And I was like, I'll take it.
That feels like a compliment.
Kind of.
Fair trade. Right.
Overshown and Schoonmaker. Now, the reason why I brought up Overshown, and I know people are going to talk about him being hurt, but one valuable tool that you did see from ESPN in the offseason is they interviewed and took votes from people involved in the league. And Overshown, I think, was the eighth ranked off the ball linebacker. So there is value there. I know he gets hurt. And for people like me, I still think he's going to be awesome. But you've had injury problems. Anything for Overshown and Schoonmaker? Schoonmaker, I don't think is going to bring you much at all.
Give me a seventh.
Yeah. I maybe make a conditional to potentially. By the way, conditional, if you're not familiar, whenever we say that, that means there's a certain set of parameters that if that player meets it with their new team, you have the potential to bump up one round.
Okay.
Usually just one round.
If I can get something for Schoonmaker right now, dude, absolutely.
Okay.
I have my long-term tight end already. He's not going to replace that guy.
Okay.
So I feel like I'm pretty, like, you signed him to an extension for a reason. You were hoping you could kind of do what you've done and just be like, okay, we'll get another one and we'll replace them every sure. time their rookie deal's done and move on. But here we are with this. So that one, well, that was a miss. Maybe that was a McCarthy pick anyway. So if anybody out there liked him before, I'd be selling absolutely.
What about Overshown then? Because I feel like Overshown is more complicated.
Now let's have a talk. I'm glad you're at the table today.
Tell me about it.
What are you thinking? How valuable is he to you?
Okay.
This player that I have on my team that you might want.
Okay. See, and obviously if I'm on the other side, I'm going to be like, not that valuable. He's always hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, and this really pains.
Why did you get to this restaurant where we're at right now?
You know what, actually, that
came all the way from New York.
That is a really fair question. So to me, DeMarvion Overshown is creeping significantly closer to Sam Williams category. And what I mean by that
is lots of potential,
but also you're running out of time for his cheapness.
Mm-hmm.
So like, let's say, and I know it's been a terrible start to the season for the defense across the board. Let's say Sam Williams all of a sudden magically flips switch and just kicks all of the ass this year. He ends up getting 11 and a half sacks and you're like, what? I know, not based on what we've seen in the first three games. Great. That's great, right? Except his contract is up. And so what are you going to do now? So DeMarvion Overshown, let's say he comes back around Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He looks pretty good. And you're like, hey, that's great. I still need him to stay healthy for an entire season. Then next year, he comes out there, kicks all the ass. He's the magical off-ball linebacker that you always needed all along. Hell yeah. He's out of contract. So like, that's one of the issues, whether it's injuries or whatever. You also run out of the time that these players are really cheap and really a great value. So I would absolutely listen to trade offers for Overshown, even though I still want him to be so good.
Okay. Second?
I don't think so.
Third? Because here's what I'm thinking now, Kevin. If I can collect a bunch of sevenths, how many? I could get 3 sevens, could get me a fifth?
Theoretically. It would depend on where you're in the round and everything. But yeah.
Let's say I got 3 sevens and that gets me a fifth. Well, now I got 2 fifths to work with in this draft. Maybe I can do the same thing for next year, 2 fifths to work with in the next draft.
Yeah.
And I already got 4 ones to work with over the next 2 years. I'm trying to get some threes now. Threes could get me some twos. Fives could get me some fours. Do you understand what I'm trying? I'm trying to trade up from paperclip to Lamborghini.
Sure.
And it's going to take a lot of work, and I'm going to have to find people to dance with me on this. But I'm trying to figure out what I can do here. A third is too much for you for Overshown?
So in my head, and I should have checked with a couple of other people for this player, and specifically, I wonder about a third or a fourth. Maybe this is another conditional situation. I'll have to go look more into that.
I don't think, Kevin. I think
you get better than a six.
I think both of us are in the same boat where we're trying to stockpile.
Yes.
This player might not be the one I sell.
Okay.
And here's one of the reasons. I think they, when the Micah trade happened, they envisioned this is the one we're going to build around. Now, unfortunately, this is a dude that's injured.
Okay.
But this is an electric defensive player that can do a lot of different things on the field. He's got great speed. He's got great closing ability. We've seen the flashes. We hope we can build around him. He's in Eberflus's ear. He's going to be the future of the team. Now, we need to keep him on the field. That's the first thing. But I think that they envision that this is a guy that they can build their defense around.
You know, and I did think about this name. I saw somebody texting in, trade resurgent Javonte Williams. I thought about that. I just don't think the value is going to be there or particularly existent. And I wanted to know what y'all thought about these three players because they all picked up contracts. Osa, Turpin, and Tyler Smith. Are those all part of the untouchable group for you? Now, they're probably untouchable because you just gave them extensions and the complications of the salary cap with the NFL. But are those untouchable players for you?
They are in that range, yes.
Okay, same with CeeDee Lamb?
Yeah, CeeDee Lamb I'm not doing anything with.
And then for everybody that says Dak Prescott, and Bobby said it this morning.
CeeDee Lamb's the one dude, Kevin, that I think, like, I personally think that's the guy that I want the team to follow to.
He does
things the way I like them to be done.
I gotcha.
And I appreciate the player he is.
Some
people don't.
Yeah, just logistically for people that say, Dak, I promise, I hear you on that. Your salary cap would be murder, death, killed if that happened. And you know the Cowboys. There's no way they would do any of that. But then again, maybe they've changed our minds with Micah this year. I just want to say, I think you're 2 years away.
Do you think that that's real for you?
No.
That one trade has now changed the way that they might approach things altogether, and this might be a new leaf they're turning over?
The only reason I say maybe is because they talk so much about the salary cap and taking up a specific portion of the pie. Now, I frequently dispute the numbers that they throw out there, but that's neither here nor there. They've at least shown they can. For Dak, you're like 2 years away from even being able to realistically have that conversation. And that's why I wanted to bring up those players like Overshown, Schoonmaker, Brandon Aubrey. The unfortunate part of it is, and this is probably why you find yourself in the situation you are right now, how many really tradable assets do the Cowboys have that you're willing to trade?
Probably three.
Yeah, not very many, right? Because if you're a no on Osa, Turpin, and Tyler Smith, putting aside the nature of their contract extensions, then, okay, then no CeeDee Lamb. You can't realistically do it on Dak. Now, all of a sudden, you're talking about Trayvon Diggs, who's at a wildly diminished value. Overshown, who's hurt. Schoonmaker, who the rest of the league knows hasn't really done anything. And Brandon Aubrey, who we all love. Like, you're probably in a position where your most tradable asset that people would consider is your kicker, which is an unfortunate reflection of the setup of the team right now.
It absolutely is. Because you want to be the team that people are begging to get your second, third guys.
Sure.
And they're willing to offer you more because you have that guy. And you're like, you know what? We'll take that draft pick. We're still good. We're still deep.
Right.
Now, I didn't have to trade my starters. I was able to trade depth pieces because I know my depth pieces are better than the pieces that most people have out there as starters.
And I just wanted to throw this out there real quick because somebody asked about this. And I just want to throw out like the reality of why you don't see more moves like this. Somebody asked if you would trade CeeDee Lamb for two first-round picks. So the whole issue with that is you'd be facing a massive dead cap hit, and so you would absolutely be saying my team will not be competitive for the rest of this year and maybe next year. And you've heard Jerry and Steven.
It's a big Band-Aid to rip off.
Yes, and I know they're trying to spin, but you've heard them like, oh, we could still be competitive. But like, if you did that with another big name player,
that's part of the sell.
Yeah, I don't think you could sell it anymore. Yeah. If you're like, we're going to trade CeeDee Lamb. Sure, we'll be fine, guys.
Yeah,
we have six first round picks in the next 2 years, but then you couldn't realistically be like, we're a serious football team that wants to win right now. Right. You just couldn't. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, by the way, we didn't mention George Pickens because he's under a 1 year deal. You're really hamstrung with that. And if he balls out, you're going to give him a big giant contract. And then
it would need to be a team that's contending.
Yes.
And lost their top tier receiver.
Look, if you think that we should make some moves, what you should really want is George Pickens in these next 4 weeks to have 56 catches and just go insane. And then we can maybe do something.
Or win all the games, and then win the Super Bowl.
You know what? It's sad that that's not what I thought at first.
Okay.
But that's probably just a reflection of how I feel about this team. But you're right. That is, of course, the number one thing that we should do. Coming up next, the Cooper Flag hype train is officially kicked into the next gear. Plus, we will talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy right here on The Fan.
Shot clock at 15. Plenty of time. Flag again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hill pulls up and pops and knocks it down.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to talk with Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy in just a couple minutes. But in the meantime, the Cooper Flag hype has gone to the next level. Not courtesy of me, though that is fair to wonder.
I feel like you've been very realistic with the expectations of him.
Sure, thank you.
A lot of people would assume just because you're a Duke guy that you wouldn't be.
Right.
So
Tim McMahon is ranking the top 100 players in the NBA entering this season.
He's number one and MVP, I'm guessing.
Okay, that feels
Timmy like man always a source of very good basketball knowledge.
That is true. But for the record, the top 10 won't be out until maybe tomorrow.
And Cooper Flagg's already on the list.
Which means he's not in the top
10. What does Tim McMahon know? You know, like, what's he ever known, honestly?
You better watch out.
No, I liked him.
So PJ Washington goes into the season ranked number 95th best player in basketball. And we could talk about these players specifically in just a second. Derek Lively is 73. Cooper Flagg is 52. Just think about that. He has not stepped on to an NBA court for real play, and he is ranked 52nd.
Wow, that
in the NBA.
That is very impressive to already be at that spot.
Absolutely.
And that tells you what his skills go beyond just whatever offensive skill he has.
Yes.
It is everything encompassing what the player actually is.
Absolutely. And Tim McMahon wrote, the 18-year-old who might be the most anticipated American prospect since LeBron James arrives in the NBA in a distinctive position of being a number one pick on a veteran-heavy roster with playoff aspirations. And he'll have plenty of opportunity to thrive and prove he can be the point forward. Now, Tim McMahon pointed out that Wemby was ranked 47 in the NBA prior to him ever stepping on the court. And clearly, injuries aside, he has been fantastic already in the NBA. But what do you think about the fact then this would seem to lead me to believe that the Mavericks will have five players in the top 100, unless I'm just totally spacing on something. PJ Washington, Derek Lively, Cooper Flagg, and then you'll get Anthony Davis and Kyrie. Although I guess because of the injury, maybe that could change, but I would assume Anthony Davis and Kyrie would be in the top of the list.
Maybe you forgot about Luka.
Well, Luka doesn't play for us anymore. I hope you didn't miss that. That was a really big story back in February.
I just ignored it for a while.
Okay.
And just kind of was like, nah, this isn't real. This is just a bad dream kind of thing.
Okay.
But you're telling me it's real.
I am sorry to be the one to tell you that.
Right.
Yes, that story was real and that happened. Does that change your hype level at all for Cooper Flagg, knowing that like somebody who is not affiliated with the organization. I know he used to cover the Mavericks. Is that high on it? We'll get back around to your thoughts about that a little bit later. But right now, whether you're on the mound, at the plate, or on the road, National Car Rental invites you to stop waiting. Start winning and book like a winner today. And Olshan, we bring you Texas Rangers manager Bruce Bochy. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, guys. Good afternoon.
So I just wanted to tell a positive story. Earlier, we had the opportunity to have Fergie Jenkins in studio, and he was great, and he mentioned how much he liked you. Do you have any particular memories, fondly or otherwise, hopefully positive, of Fergie Jenkins?
Yeah, just times that we crossed paths. I did do a cruise with him. It's a baseball cruise that we were on, and he's just a classy guy. Of course, all the credentials, Hall of Fame and everything, but he just got a very, very nice way about him that, kind of puts you at ease, because I really looked up to him. I got a chance to face him in the big leagues, and I was looking forward to spending some time with him, and did do that, and just a real, really nice guy that had a tremendous career.
Now, on that cruise, you didn't happen to try and drop a fishing line into the ocean, did you?
Yeah, I was trolling back there. They didn't know it, but, I did. We did have one stop, so I did go out on the boat and, they have those excursions that you can set up, and I did do that, but didn't have very much luck on that one.
Even with the playoffs now no longer possible, how important is it for the team, for the franchise, to finish at or above 500?
Well, that's certainly a goal. It does mean a lot of things, I think, to everybody, because we fought so hard to get back in this thing, and we've had a tough, eight games here, and you put in all that hard work and, the finish – the way we're finishing right now, that's it's hard on these guys. You know, I know personally it would mean a lot. I think with the coaching staff, I can speak to them. We talked about it in the meeting yesterday that we have to play it out. But also it means that we played pretty good baseball from this point on, even though we're out of it. We owe it to our fans that are coming out. You know, we talked about that. Continue to play well. And sure, we're shorthanded now. But, yes, you know, at the end of the day, you know, if you play over 500, yeah, that makes you feel a lot better about your season.
You were fired up last night after the game, though, and correct me if I'm misinterpreting this, but you felt like last night was not your team's best effort by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, you know, I probably did let some frustration come out there. I do think they're trying. We did make some mistakes, mistakes that we're just not accustomed to making. And, you know, four hits again, we're not swinging the bats, and I get it. We're missing our core players, but we were playing good baseball without them, and now all of a sudden we're just not doing much offensively. You know, we're stuck on four or five hits, it seems like, every game, and of course make some mistakes in defense. We pick a couple guys off, we couldn't get them out, and it's just those things that it probably got to me. But I do think everybody's out there trying. You know, we had some guys that were playing hurt. I'll talk about Langford. He this whole big thing's been with him. I talked to you guys last week, and I mentioned a name, and that's who it was.
Yeah.
He was trying to play through it, and man, what a warrior he was, trying to continue to play. And then Garcia, he's had that grade 2 quad strain. He's just not getting around like we're used to. And it's not a good look for him because he's out there trying. But, you know, it's hard to play this game when you're not 100%. So I probably did let some frustration come out last night. But, you know, it's on all of us. We're doing, you know, what we can. But, we just got to keep fighting. That's the only way we can go about this.
I know you probably can't or don't want to project into the future or future seasons, but is Adolis going to be able to play today or tomorrow? And if so, how important maybe is it for the home fans to be there to give him perhaps one final big ovation?
Well, I would like to get him out there. I can tell you he's not going to start today. It's bothering him a little bit more. I just got a report from our trainer, Lucky, who just let me know. So, I tried to find him. I pinch hit the parents, but he's not able to go today. If he's able to go tomorrow, he'll be out there. For the very reason we talked about, that's why I wanted him out there in his home stand. This guy's done so much for us, helped us win a championship, and I know the fans love him, so that's why I wanted to play him this series. And so we'll see where he's at the next day, I guess, or tomorrow, because that's their last game.
Boach, a lot of times we talk about in a specific game, there was a turning point in that game, a moment that really stood out that you're like, okay, that's where the game kind of shifted. This season, can you pinpoint a turning point for the year when things kind of changed? Because I'm having a hard time. It's felt like it's kind of been like right there all season long.
It's hard to pinpoint one part of the season. I mean, what's happened here recently, I can see the game in New York. We had a chance to sweep them. We had a man on third 3 times, couldn't get him in. Before we hit into Houston, that seemed to kind of help put us in a spin, but on the wrong note there. But during the season, losing Nate, that's a big one. Nate was one of our guys. Of course, what a great job he did as far as stopping any streaks or anything. So I'd say that on the pitching side. But you know, anytime you lose, you know, your top guys, you know, Marcus, Corey, those guys, you know, it's a lot to overcome, and we did for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys came up and they brought a lot of energy, but you know, it's just hard to replace guys who, you know, have that resume on a baseball card. And when you get down to the last 2-3 weeks, you know, they seem to get better. And so we did miss some of those guys. But we can talk about so many. I mean, Carter, that was a big loss. We lost you know, so many guys at different times on the IL. And so I can't think of one game or anything, no.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. You'd think this guy's going to inject a little juice into the club,
right,
and then the injury happens, and then you're like, oh, maybe the next one. I know you believe this team before the season, we talked about it multiple times, would be a better slugging team. Do you think that philosophy will change heading into next season, or is this just a slugger's league, and how do we find and add sluggers?
Well, it is something we've talked about. I can tell you that. You know, see why, and I have had those conversations, and the front office has to see what we can do to get better, get more consistent.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think when you're talking about just being a slug team, I think that's hard to do, especially in our game. And I think if you look at some of these other clubs and the success that they're having, for example, Milwaukee, although we end up sweeping them, but you know, their success has been team at bats and those type things, including speed, playing the game. We just played a team that has played great baseball, the Marlins. Yeah, they look bad. We got swept by them, but, you know, they won again last night. They beat Philly. I love what they're doing there. And I thought their hitters really worked our pitchers very well. They worked them hard. And of course, they have some really good pitching, too. So that's a team on the upswing that they play the slug game, but they also give in and put the ball in play. So these are things we're talking about.
When you talk about some of your interactions with Chris Young and the future of the team and everything, how would you welcome a multi-year contract extension offer from the Rangers?
I'm gonna keep with what I've been saying. We got 5 more games, so that conversation will happen later. I'm trying to finish this thing up on a good note. That's been my focus all year, and so I'd love to talk about it, but I'm going to stay with and it was my choice. Let's just wait and see where we're at. Where we're at the end of the year.
Well, with the focus then on the final 5 games, aside from the discussions we had about finishing at or above 500, anything in particular that you would like to see in these last 5 games, like, continued hot streak from Osuna, or what do you want to see in these last 5 games?
I'd like to get some wins. You touched on it when we started the show here with playing over 500 baseball. That means that we finished up pretty strong and overall. It's not a bad season. Sure, it's not where you want to go or get, but it's it's a team that has had to deal with a lot, and you know, finish over that mark would mean a lot to everybody. You always continue to evaluate. We get two young guys that again get more playing time because of the injury. So this has been an invaluable experience for them. And as you move forward, it helps any decisions that need to make on what you need on the ball club, whether it's you know out on the field or on the bench, and so and same on the pitching side.
You know, you've told us a lot through the years about how important confidence could be for a player out there. I was hoping you could kind of go over why that is so important, especially in baseball again. And then if you can tell us anything about, and I might just be like projecting here, what happened to Josh Young's confidence along the way?
Yeah. Such an important part of a player's success is that confidence. If that gets shaken at all, you're not going to see the same player. We've seen it. And Josh Young is a really gifted player. But like anybody, when he started having some struggles, he lost some confidence. He started expanding the zone. He wasn't seeing the ball as well. I think you lose that maniacal focus that you need to be really good when you're either hitting or pitching on either side. And you see with a lot of, most players, almost all players, and it's a separator in between the average player and the good player, the great player. And you get better with it, I think, with time as far as handling, the ups and downs. And, I've talked about how you need talent, but you need that mental toughness, which they have. But at the same time, it just sometimes takes some guys a little bit longer. Right now, I've mentioned Berger. You can see a difference when he's confident, but he's dealing with the wrist thing that it's there, and he's trying to fight through it, and we appreciate it. He's doing all he can to play through this, but sure, it's going to, shake your confidence a little bit as far as what you normally do at the plate.
Boach, we got to see it a little bit at spring training. They discussed it yesterday. ABS is going to be there next year in baseball. Do you like that? And how much closer are we to robots taking over as umpires?
I really do like it. I originally didn't think I would like it as much as I did. I did in spring training. I thought it went really well. It's fast. It's quick. I think it's entertaining. I think the fans got into it when they showed up on the scoreboard, whether it's a ball or strike. I think the players liked it. And I think it's going to be good for the game because of a couple of reasons. One, you're going to stop some of the complaining, whining, even on calls when guys are coming back to the dugout because you can challenge. And if you use both of them up, then that's on you. You have nothing to complain about if you challenge and you're wrong. Also, I think for the umpires, they want to get it right. They're human, and they're going to miss some calls. It's just going to go with the territory. We talk about this. We're not the only team you're going to miss calls with, and you just hope it's more on the other side than yours, I guess. But so I think it will take a little bit off them, maybe. And the last thing they want to do is go home and end the game on a bad call. So anyway, I like it. It's really, really, I think, going to work well.
Well, last year after the season was over, we had you on the day before Thanksgiving for our charity marathon show. So I just wanted to put that bug in your ear. Think about it. In a couple of months, we're raising money if you want to talk whiskey, fishing, and all kinds of other fun stuff.
Thanksgiving.
Maybe we would love to have you on the day before Thanksgiving.
That'd be great. Yeah. I'd love to do it. Yeah.
All right.
You can't, if you catch anything or if you lose one, you can't question me. All right.
Okay. That's fair. That is fair. Thank you very much. Good sir. Best of luck today. We'll be out at the ballpark tomorrow as you guys shoot for finishing above 500.
Hi guys. Always good talking to you. We'll see you tomorrow.
There you go. Bruce Bochy right here on 105.3 The Fan. And yes,
dude,
I know.
I want to cry.
I know.
I just want to cry right now.
I know.
So bad. I've never wanted to, cry about baseball like this. Like, I had happy tears.
Right.
And Mike was eating popcorn, you know, during those happy tears. Mike might eat popcorn during these sad tears, too. That's the guy right there that you're just like, I'll follow through whatever. And right now he sounds like he just is so sad.
Yeah, that was, look, I bet a lot of Rangers fans feel that same way. And we talked about this before the show started. You just think about where they were, what, like 9 days ago. And you're right there.
You're so.
And now here you are going into the final, or in the midst of the final homestand of the season and wrapping up the regular season, and you're not playing for a playoff spot anymore. I saw all of the text. I understand. He sounded very, very sad to me as well.
Kevin, I know specifically you wanted two questions answered, really. I feel like you kind of got the one about Adolis. There's a reality there of, yes, this is possibly his last at-bats as a Texas Ranger. And as Rangers fans, you know, I know the last couple of years have been tough for us, but we did win that World Series with him, and we'd love to give him a salute on his way. I don't know if we got an answer in the one.
The other one was probably a long shot where he's going to go, guys, I'm glad you asked.
I want a 10-year deal. I want to be here for the rest of my life. You know, I would love for him to come back and have the talent and shot to go do it one more time.
For sure.
The bats to be able to be back in it, man. But we'll see. I guess we got to finish the season first.
Yeah. Sorry, Corey. I know it is very sad. By the way, I just want to update you real quick on the rankings for NBA. Anthony Davis came in at number 14. And as I said, was maybe be the case, Kyrie Irving is not going to be on the list because of injury. So theoretically, otherwise, the Mavericks would have had 5 on the list. But with Kyrie not being on the list instead.
And Luka's still not a Maverick.
Yes, Luka is still not a Maverick. I'm so sorry, Alec. Right. PJ Washington, 95. Derek Lively, 73. Cooper Flagg, 52. And Anthony Davis, 14.
You don't see Gafford moving it up in, you know, top 10. Like, that's
would be shocking to
me. Would you expect any of those guys that are lower to move up this year? And who, yes. Like, who would it be for you? Other than Flag.
But I absolutely see a lot of upward mobility then for both Lively and Gafford. Because that feels like if you really saw...
Kid wants that to be their yes, focal point, yes, the bigs yes. in the middle.
And like, if you ran into injury issues with Anthony Davis, that would suck. But if you got Gafford and Lively picking up the slack and showing to be that terrifying two-headed center monster that we've seen, I could absolutely see both of them move up on the list. All right, we're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I'll give you an option. Got random sports report or... I have Micah Parsons prop bets.
Let's go random sports report. I want these Micah prop bets tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
Unless you're planning on using them later in the show.
Yeah, go for it. Random sports report. Go ahead and give me cut number 11, if you will, Alec, because tennis is even more expensive than I thought.
In a sensationally bold and brawny performance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I know what happened. Carlos Alcaraz.
All right.
The final point of his win over Jannik Sinner from a tournament that was over, I don't know, like 3 weeks ago. How much do you think that tennis ball sold for? It's not from 1912 or something. This just happened.
$6,000.
All right. Alec, would you pay more than six? Well... If you had all of the money, would you pay more than $6,000 for this?
Yeah, that's a lot of money for me. I probably would. That seems very historic and important.
It sold for $89,000.
Sweet Jesus.
It is the highest price ever paid for a tennis ball at a public auction. I don't know if they have lots of like backroom tennis ball dealings and whatnot, but that tournament just ended. And they're like, man... I'll take it. Here's 89,000.
That's not just any tennis ball that was used throughout the final, last one.
Yes, for the final point.
What about the one that was the turning point tennis ball? Do we have that one? Like, this was the one that really, like, I know this finished it. This is a turning point.
Corey, I know it's not Friday. I'm going to put you in Forgiveness Friday.
Okay.
You asked Bochy the question about the turning point of the season, and that felt like the question.
It broke him?
Yes, it did. Like, he was sad already.
That was it.
But then when you asked him to reflect on the whole thing, he's like, man, I don't want to do that right now.
Yeah.
So, no, we don't have the turning point.
There wasn't a turning point this season, Kevin. He was right whenever he answered the question. It felt like the whole season had turning points that just kept falling apart. Like, this is the one that you hope might be the moment. And then it's like, nope, it wasn't. And it's just what it was all year.
Can I show you why I'm a professional?
But the season's not over.
Broadcaster.
Yeah.
Speaking of turning point, Charlie Kirk was the head of Turning Point USA. And did you know that Cubs player Matt Shaw, he missed a game with the Cubs so he could go to the Charlie Kirk Memorial. He said that Charlie Kirk was a friend of his and would like text him all of the time because he was a big Cubs fan and everything. And their manager talked about like, hey, this is a friend of his and it was really important to be there. And so there's my attempt at that transition. Now to golf. Scottie Scheffler and the U.S. Stars are going to donate their Ryder Cup pay to charity. And I know we joke about this, but I just think that's a delightful story. Like when they don't need the money and you're representing your country and they're like, you know what? I'm going to help my country out even more and donate to charity. They voted to donate all of their money to charity.
Do you happen to see the picture of the Ryder Cup American team and the European team?
I don't think so.
All together.
Were they?
The Europeans are all wearing suits and ties, and the Americans are wearing suits, no ties, no shoes, or they're wearing tennis shoes.
Oh.
Do you feel like we're going to get chumped out here because our guys aren't prepared, or they're so relaxed?
See, because depending on your narrative ahead of time, you could spin it either way, right? Like the Europeans are all business and we're in a lot of trouble. Or you can be like, look how relaxed the Americans are. They're ready to just go out there and play. Like
that they're
just
10 cup, baby.
Yeah, that just depends on your
three
narrative.
Three whiskeys in and they're ready to go.
I can feed that into whichever narrative you want to go with before the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, it's always the outcome that you're like, okay, now let's look back and see.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Major.
Yeah, we got a little bit of discussion about the running back situation and why baseball is the greatest game. Next on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.